Hello, my lovely people. My name is Bibi Jane, and this is the podcast for and about people in their 20s that are trying to beat the algorithm of life. Today, I'm joined by Eldwin, DJ and founder of Caribeng. We have another founder story, and this is week 10 of me recording the podcast at the Social Hub. That's crazy, week 10. Thank you, Social Hub, for making this possible. Are you ready to record this podcast? Fun fact, we recorded this podcast already. But I deleted the audio footage.
That's right.
To start off, could you shortly introduce yourself? Who are you? What do you do?
Oh, yeah. So my name is Eldwin. I'm 27-year-old, living in Rotterdam from Aruba. I'm an artist, musician, entrepreneur, father also.
I want to kind of start at the beginning. Your super into music. How did that come into your life? What's the first recollection you have of music in your childhood?
Well, music goes like way back, I think. But if you're gonna speak like what I do now with music, as an artist or as a DJ, I would say I started DJing. I don't know at what age, because there's a few phases that I started. Like, I started after a computer. So a DJ software.
Okay.
And then when I actually bought a DJ equipment, that was when I was like 14.
And where'd you get the money to buy that?
I have one of the best dads in the world. So
I love that.
He actually, me and my brother actually, we found a passion on the online software, yeah. Virtual DJ. And then we wanted to like play the equipment.
Yeah.
So my dad told us like, okay, I'm gonna get it for you guys. So my dad bought it for us.
Nice.
And it was really nice because it was also like we did sports and everything on the island, but it was something on the side, but something really fun, and we really enjoyed doing that. And we're also doing it together, so we're playing together, search for music together, and find the music we like to play, basically.
So you grew up, music already kind of had an influence on you. You saw it more like as a pure fun thing. Did you ever think that it would turn into what it is today?
No, I think because on Aruba, we were like doing it for fun and really like the enjoyment. And even when people booked us, like they wanted to play, want us to play at the party, it was like just for fun, just, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't see it like a business. We didn't see it like a, you know, a opportunity to make it big or something. I guess that was always a dream of me, or for me and my brother. But, you know, when you have strict parents also, they're not really strict, but they're like, you have to go to school, finish your school. That's more important. This is like a hobby. So
how do you look at that now, especially now being a father as well? Do you feel like you do the same thing? Of course it's a different generation now,
because I think it's the way our parents grew up. 100%. On the island, we didn't have I would say for them, they didn't have many options.
Yeah.
And also for me, because when I finished high school in Aruba, we had like a few options to do. We didn't have like music career, music industry or something, you know?
It was out there, you know? I mean, not on Aruba, but the options were out there to go abroad and study it, but it was not really, it wasn't thrown in your face. It wasn't
No.
Yeah.
It
even got made fun of, I remember, because if you had, in the high school I went to, you at like some point you had to like start choosing like what kind of things you want to drop, and I chose like the science path, but you had the like more creative path. People always make fun of that. They're like, oh yeah, you're the girl that does like the random like art stuff
up, right?
So you study art, like how are you gonna make money? And like it was always like
you know what they call that?
Pret-paquette.
Yeah,
I don't know how you translate that. It's just like the fun package, like just you're doing like
pret-paquette. I also like thought about it when I was in school, like I'm just gonna take that those classes, and I'm gonna like, you know, finish my studies easily. That's how they see it. Like, it's not like that, but they see it like that, and it's messed up because, you know, I think, or my perspective, I would say, in this life, you have to do what you want, and even if it's art or if it's a sport or whatever, and you can literally do what you want and make the best out of it, or make it, if that's the right word to say. But on Aruba, on Ireland, they would say, just go do a decent study.
Safe.
And be mm-hmm. safe, so you had a good income and you can take care of your family and everything. And you start to see it like that also. That's why I never saw DJ, like, I didn't saw the opportunity to make a business out of it.
Yeah.
So that's when I went to school and I did electric engineering.
Yeah, that's so, like, sounds like the opposite of,
I mean, or it's not.
Okay, what is it? Give me in like one sentence.
Electric engineering is everything, actually, like from equipments to actually doing electrical installations. Mm. Everything electronic has you could, if you know basic electric engineering, you could do pretty much everything.
Okay, that's a good thing. Yeah. You kind of chose something broad.
Yeah, and it also pays good. So
yeah, you know, that in the back of your mind as well?
Yeah, of course, because mm-hmm. that's a steady income that you search for when you're growing up. And also, I've been looking up to my dad and my uncle that also studied that. My uncle works at NASA. Is the Arubian that works at NASA, and my dad's also a great electrician, and they both like told me, like, if you want to study that, go to APE in Aruba, the high school, and then go abroad, go to college or in the US or at the Netherlands. I always wanted to go to the US, but
yeah, same.
It's
hella expensive.
Yeah, it's hella expensive.
So you moved to the Netherlands to study electric engineering.
Where no, I actually wanted to do something
else.
Yeah, something else. I wanted to do physics teacher.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's also a switch.
Why? What is? Yeah. What was up with that?
Because when it's like basic, but not that basic. You know, being a teacher, you don't do like, it's not heavy work.
Mm.
But it's something that also you can enjoy. And what I mean by that is also you can enjoy the days off, the vacation days, you know, like that's like what I wanted to do at that moment. So
physics teacher.
Yeah, I don't even want to be like an English teacher or a, I don't know, what, a history teacher.
Yeah,
I don't
math
wanna do,
teacher.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that. Math also, I don't want to do. I want to do something that I know. That's physics. That's because you get it in electric engineering. And
okay.
But I went, that was my first year here in the Netherlands.
Yeah, so you moved to the Netherlands, you went to Rotterdam?
Yeah, in Rotterdam.
Cool. How old were you?
Now, yeah, I'm 27.
Now you're 27, how old were you when you came?
Oh, 21.
You were 21?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that? Did you come with friends?
Yeah, I come with the group from Aruba that comes to the Netherlands. And so, yeah, it was nice coming to the Netherlands and having a big group so you can connect with other people. When I went to school, I was the only one from Aruba, or only like Beterlander there. So like, in my class. So that was
so
a bit difficult.
You're the only one that kind of like moved abroad and.
Yeah. But it was not bad. It wasn't a bad experience. Yeah. The classmates I had was good classmates. Only thing is, physics teacher didn't work out for me.
When did you notice that?
I think.
Was it a year?
Christmas break.
Okay, so not even a year in.
Yeah, like half a year in. Yeah. Because here in the Netherlands, they're really like straight to your face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't
compared to like Aruban culture, where you're like warm and it's like you say hello to everybody. And
so
here, the
mentor of my my class was like, you know, it's not too late to pick another study.
Got it.
Yeah, he didn't tell me like you have to work hard or not. He just told me that, like, so that was straightforward from him, and I was like, damn, okay.
Did you already know that deep inside though,
living in the Netherlands and seeing the opportunities here? I would say I wanted
more.
I wanted
what?
More of just being a physics teacher. I think that's when my entrepreneur mindset switched.
Got it. Yeah,
so I wanted to be something. I wanted leave something behind or something, do something that more that
you can build on.
Yeah, I can build on. So,
Because
when you're gonna be, if that's the main goal, being a physics teacher, you get like so far.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I wanted to do something more, and physics teacher was not going. Yeah, really good for me. So I told myself, I'm going to start another study, or I'm going back to the study I finished in Aruba. I told myself, you know, let's just give it a try, go back to electric engineering. At that time, I did nothing with DJ, nothing with music, because I was...
You're too busy focused on the studies.
Yeah. I was going out, yeah. That was like my... Yeah. I loved going out, like go to clubs and listen to music, listen to other DJs, go to festivals.
Yeah.
So...
Did you have the idea that... Because, like, I think what makes our generation new is, like, the previous generation focuses on this idea of, like, study something, get a good job, and then you retire, or you get enough money where you get to then leave the job, and then you get to do what you're passionate about, and then you get to, like, start this life that you really want. I think that our generation is kind of, like, changing that. They're like,
yeah,
oh, I don't need to wait. I'll just do that shit now.
Of course, 100%. Yeah. It's funny that you said that, because now we're going into the phase that I was studying electric engineering, and I had the idea of starting something new. That is Caribang, my brand and platform that I created. That's based on music. And I remember doing electric engineering and had that idea to start something. So I started Caribang. And yeah, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to finish electric engineering, have a steady income, and put that into my...
Yeah.
My passion or my business.
Yeah. Which is not like a bad thing.
It's
as
not
well,
a bad
right?
thing as yeah, yeah at all.
Like, I think there is something scary about like starting a business, especially if it's your first time, like fully relying on it. And like, okay, this is gonna make me money. That's also scary. So it wasn't a bad thought. Yeah.
At first that was the plan. And I think the minute that changed was when I did my first event. Because before that, Caribang, when I started Caribang, it was an idea to be a record label.
What does a record label do? In a one short sentence for someone that doesn't know anything about music, aka me.
Publish music.
Got it.
And yeah, officially.
But like, what's the difference between me pressing publish on Spotify versus me going to a record? Do they have more connections?
A record label has a platform that already going. Because like if you see it good, you're also a record label. If you're publishing music on... Because that's independent. You're doing it independent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically you are a record label. You're an independent record label.
Got it.
For like a big record label, already has the connections, has the reach, has everything, and artists come to the record label and wanted to publish their music via the record label.
Got it.
That's how I see it, and that's the like the goal for Caribang.
Yeah.
But I started as a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So I started posting music in that niche. So I created my own niche. Caribang is actually Caribbean club bangers. So Caribbean music that you listen to in the club, like...
The idea was to publish music.
Yeah. I must say, like, if you want to be a big record label or a record label, a respected one that people would come to you and, like, want to publish their music via you, it's not going to be... to overnight, unless you have a ton of money, because you're going to provide the video clip and you're going to provide everything, cover art and everything, promo. But I want to start a platform for that, and doing that, I was growing and growing and growing, and at a certain point I'm going to be a record label and I'm going to publish music from myself and for every other artist that wants to be part of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think if I look back now, because what year did you start?
What's the 2019.
That's when you published the first video, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, someone that grew up on Aruba, then moved to the Netherlands, now we have Spotify and all these things, SoundCloud or whatever, but like, I remember that it was like almost impossible to listen to the music that I grew up listening to. You know, like, I don't know, I don't know what it was. Like, it was like, it was not one place. It wasn't like you opened Spotify and you had all the music there.
Yeah. It's starting to get there, but not yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just in kind of like the beginning phase. But yeah. So I feel like you saw a problem and you wanted to have like a solution to that
actually,
problem.
Yeah.
Because people were looking for that music.
Yeah.
But couldn't
actually,
find it. Yeah.
Because there were other like channels, I would call them channels, YouTube channels. They were putting like only rap music, the old one and the newest one, Kanja Inc. I don't know if you know that, but that's like the platform, the biggest platform on YouTube to like, it's also a record label now.
Yeah.
To publish your music.
Yeah. What would you call Caribbean now? Why do you struggle with that? I find it super interesting when people...
I don't know, because it's independent record label right now because I published my first track this year, actually.
Nice.
Thanks. But it's so much bigger than that. Like, it started as a YouTube channel.
What made it grow when it was the YouTube channel?
I would say, of course, a lot of music that's clubbed, like, people only find it on Caribbean.
Yeah, like the SEO.
Yeah,
searching,
because everyone can upload the music.
Yeah.
They could do it, but if you have a platform for that music,
that
everybody's got it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And at some point, you started doing mixtapes.
Yeah, so that's another story.
How was that? Did, like,
I think it really blew up
I'm
with the mixtapes.
I'm just thinking about, like, I don't know if you even need, I don't know anything about DJ, but like, did you come with the DJ boot that your dad bought you when you were a teenager?
No.
Okay,
no.
Got it.
I wish though. So when I came to the Netherlands, I told my brother, like, yo, I'm going to go with the DJ boot to the Netherlands. He told me, like, no, I'm stay, because it's half-half.
So. Yeah, yeah.
He told me,
like,
no, he's staying with the DJ
got
boot.
It.
So I was like, yeah, I'm going with a heavy
it's
so
a lot of
luggage. So I'm not going to go with an extra DJ boot or something.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, when I started Caribang, my brother was also here in the Netherlands, but he was doing exchange at the Belgium. And I started Caribang at the end of March. And my birthday was 4th of April. And my brother actually bought me a DJ booth. So that was really nice of him. That actually changed the game of Caribang for... Yeah, that was a huge impact. Because when he did that, I started doing mixtapes. I did my first mixtape, Koningsdag. That's
Were you scared
King's
when
Day.
You
no, no, no.
Press publish now?
No, because... I think... I would say yes, but not really, because I already knew how to, like, mix and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's very controlled.
And the first mixtape was like 13 minutes. It was 15 minutes, but then I had copyright issues because I put one track in it. That's also a really thing I'm struggling with, I struggled with it in the past. But yeah, I did my first mixtape. It was good. And via that mixtape, that's also like an opportunity to go to other parties or other event throwers, event organizers, telling them, yo, I'm a new DJ, this is my mixtape, check it out if you want. I would love to do a set at your party or something.
Yeah.
So that's when I started also DJing. So I did my first mixtape in end of April, and then my first party was in end of May. May.
Party isn't that you played at.
Yeah.
You got your first DJ gig, you're starting to DJ different parties, but you're still going to school?
Yeah.
Were you taking it seriously?
Yes.
Yeah, because you had that idea of like, oh, that's going to be like the steady income to found this.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So I was still going to school and I was doing that on the side, but I was passionate about it, but I didn't saw it actually like the main income or the main goal
at that
time. Yeah, that was the goal, just to grow the page, grow the brand, basically. And school was also going good, so that was totally fine till COVID hit. So when COVID hit, it was like, because also that's when I started DJ, so I wasn't getting a lot of money when I started DJing. Oh, you have to play like for a low budget or for free. I don't know, because that's when you start, and for I think everyone is like that
at this time period of your life. It's not like you're getting, or you were trying to get bookings for money, but just random question, is there a lot of money to be made as a DJ?
Of course. It all depends about your branding and marketing. Because
that's kind of like a funny thing to me. I feel like DJing now is, it's still about the craft and it's still about your skills, but it's way more about like who you are as a brand, or who you, like, how good your marketing is.
Yeah. It's crazy, because you can be the best DJ in the world, but if you don't have a team or a marketing team
you're not going to get seen.
No.
Yeah. So what happens next? Was there like a pivotal moment where, I don't know, the channel starts taking off, or you get more bookings?
I did bookings.
But then COVID hit.
Then COVID hits, but I'm still going to school at that time. I think when COVID hits, the mixtapes went really up, because a lot of people, especially in Aruba, they would put like the mixtapes at home and just have a party.
Yeah.
And that was really a key moment, because I saw everyone like I saw the views going up, the subscribers going up. So that was a key moment. Mm. Event stopped at some point.
Yeah.
We started doing live stream that built a community, online community.
Where were you
basically
going live?
At my place.
But on Facebook or Instagram?
Oh, we started on YouTube.
Okay, of course. Cause
and
yeah.
then we did like the rest of the live streams we did. It was like 5 or something. We did on Facebook. Because a lot of people are more on Facebook than on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I guess at that point, I was still going to school. I was still doing Karibang stuff.
Online classes and stuff, yeah.
But at a certain point, there was a week in the Netherlands that they opened the clubs.
Yeah.
And after those live streams, we did one party. And that's when that's the key moment, I think. I saw like an income besides doing small things like getting bookings or selling t-shirts or merch, you know, that type of income is all right, but it's not like a steady income. So when we did our first party, I was like, okay, we have an income here.
Yeah.
If we keep on doing this, it should be a steady income.
And is income from organizing the event pure from door sales or
in the long run you'll get different deals or I think it depends on the deal you have with the club or the I don't know if you own a club, so it's different.
So
I was going to school, I did my first event that I got paid for, I went to Aruba. There was still COVID, but we could do events there and made more money there. So, and at a certain point, I was like, if I do event here with Karibang, maybe I could like live out of this, you know?
How did you even know how to throw events? You went from like being a DJ to
know.
Like...
I think just do it. Luckily for me, it went good. Like, but I had a team also with me. The live streams, we created a team, like me,
friends,
Rawi, Edson, the guys, Daichel, Brandel.
I'll insert a video if you have one. It'll be fun.
Yeah, of course. I still have it on YouTube, like the first one. It was really crazy. We did it in my room, and everyone thought it was like a studio or something, but
it was just a corner.
It was a
room.
Corner in my room, and my beds and closets were just pushed on the side. But yeah, so we had a team, and the team, I also told them, like, let's go to the event, let's do it together. And the event went great. And from then, we just started doing events with teams.
Yeah.
So I have a team with me. Shout out to my team. You know, they really helped me a lot. And some of them already have experience in events. So it's
nice.
It's good to have that.
So then COVID passes. Are you still going to school at that point?
I was in my internship.
Mm.
I think I left that part out, but yeah, I was in my internship, and that time I also became a father, so it's a bit hectic. But it was good for me because the internship was at home, so I could work from home.
I was
the whole time with my baby, and I appreciate that moment 100%. Forever, I think.
Yeah.
And
was that also like a pivotal change where you were like, I don't know, like, oh, I really need to make something out of this, or need to have a good
plan?
It was like
a deadline, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like a deadline because I'm doing internship. Yeah, I'm getting paid for internship. I'm getting my student loan also. So I have income, so I can work with that. But it was COVID, so we didn't have events or anything or booking. So I wasn't getting nothing from Karibang at that point. At that moment, I was like, I have to see what I'm going to do. I just finished my internship. I'm going back to school. I'm still having my student loans. And so I have income, but not that much. But when I went back to school, I was sitting in my classroom and I was thinking about how can I make Karibang better and not like really paying attention to the class. And that's when I realized, no, I have to just stop and do 100% in Karibang, because I know if I do 100% in it, I can make it.
Do you have any doubts?
I would say maybe, but not really. Because if you have a plan, like I have like a whole structure of what I want to do in the future with Karibang when it's so far.
Yeah.
But for now, I got myself covered. Also with the gigs I have. Also residence gigs that I have like every weekend. And, you know,
yeah.
that could pay the bills, basically.
Yeah.
And if I do an event every month or every 2 months, and also bookings,
yeah,
I could live out of it, you know?
If you're an entrepreneur that works from home, you might be able to relate with me that in the beginning, working from home is great. It's cozy, it's fun. But at some point, you just want to get out there. You know, you're tired of getting distracted by your household chores. You just crave having people around you that are also working on something because that gives you motivation and focus. That's me. That's literally me. So I was really happy when I found out that the Social Hub has co-working spaces. It's where I come to get my things done. I love it. So if you're looking for a place to host a meeting, an event, or a co-working space, or maybe you're even looking for a dedicated desk, the Social Hub has it all. Thank you, Social Hub. Now back to the show. How was that first day when you were kind of like full-time on Caribbean? Were you working on a certain thing? Was it like an event or?
I would say events, planning events for like for the future, like before.
Like planning ahead.
A year ahead, basically.
Wow.
And seeing how I can grow my brand, my personal brand, not only Caribbean, but I also did a switch to Asofila, what I'm doing right now as an artist.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole other story, because Caribbean, a lot of people know me as Caribbean.
Yeah.
And I want to make it separate from my artist career as a DJ, as a producer, and not as a brand owner or, you know, a founder of a platform. Yeah, so now I'm just focusing on Caribbean and my own artist career and making it work, or trying my best to make it work.
I want to ask you about nightlife. My partner of 8 years, especially in the beginning, was really focused on his DJ career. He really loves DJing, really loved the nightlife. And I was young and a student, so I loved it too. But now, like growing up, now I'm going to be 26 and I'm like, how the fuck do people still keep up with the nightlife? Like, how, like, what makes it that good that you, like, get out of bed and go to the fucking club till that late hour? What keeps you interested in nightlife? Why would you want to be in a nightlife? It seems so chaotic and so, I don't know, loud and everything.
It's funny, when I have conversation with your partner, I always tell him, like, yeah, age. At that,
yeah, do you feel like it's changing?
Because we are also friends and we like to go out with each other, basically. And sometimes he give me a message. He send me a message like, "Yo, are you doing something tonight? Let's go out." And maybe 1 or 2 hours later, he told me like, "Nah, I'm gonna stay home." And I get that. So now I'm playing basically every weekend, and I have a car also. So when you have a car, it's difficult. Yeah, of course, 100%. Because nightlife, mostly you go to like drink and have fun and go wild, and you know, having a car, you can't do that in the Netherlands.
Yeah, makes like you responsible.
Yeah, of course, not only that, but having a family also, you want to go to them safely, because you never know what could happen on the road or where you are. That changed really the last couple of years for me. But for me personally, I would say I would go out or go in a nightlife or... Now?
They even throw events, like, to me, it also seems like I bet you see it as two different things, because now you were mentioning like going out, but you work in the nightlife,
right? Of course.
And I know there's a difference between when you're working or when you're going out still, but
sometimes like going out doesn't necessarily means going out, it's also working. You're going networking.
Explain that.
Sometimes you go as to network or to support a friend or a colleague or what you want to name it. And sometimes it's good for yourself, good for business to connect with other creatives in that scene. Because, for example, if I'm an event organizer and I want that DJ to play at my party, if I meet him a night out, if we have fun or connect, you know, it's easier to connect with him for a booking than going through agency or going through a booking agent. You never know. And like, that's a huge part in this industry. I don't think only for DJs, but I think for everything. Going out, actually, you network with people, you get to know people.
I feel like it totally makes sense. But at the same time, I'm like, I feel like the clubs is the worst place to fucking talk. Like, it's so fucking loud, though.
I mean, yeah, but you don't have to specifically talk. Like,
yeah, it's just showing your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's something interesting. When I became a freelancer, when I started working for myself, I always thought that, because when you work in a corporate field or whatever, you know, you're working 9 to 5, you're getting paid 9 to 5. But when you're a freelancer, there's a lot of, like, moments that you call work, but you're not necessarily getting paid. It's just like time that you're putting into it,
yeah,
that somehow will help build it. I don't know, it's very weird. Also, me now, like, I'm doing a lot of, like, storytelling, and even with the podcast, but also making videos, and it's like, at some point the stories are gonna run out if you don't live life. Like, yeah, if you don't go out and live life and have, yeah, conversations with people, and I don't know, read books and everything, like, you're not gonna have things to talk about, you're not gonna have stories to tell. And I struggle with that sometimes, of like, oh, but like, going out and having conversations with a friend or having coffee with a friend is not going to make me money, so I can't call that work. But it kind of is. Yeah. It's a weird dilemma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you never know. Like, if someone that you know, or do you know, or do you look up to, or, yeah, you know, it's in that scene and it's got to be there that night, and maybe you don't make actually plans, but maybe you're going to be there and you greet them and maybe vibe or something. You never know. You could work with them in the future.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say, like, I don't like to make plans like that, like, intentionally.
Yeah.
I just like to go there, and if it happens, it happens. But sometimes I have to be like that.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I did my first, like, concept video, it was like a interview and a live DJ set. The first one was Minasa, a DJ producer from Curacao. And I remember going backstage, and I didn't know him. I never met him. I just went to him like, yo, I'm Eldwin. I have this platform, Caribang. Are you going to be in Rotterdam? I want to do a video and something, like, on the spot right there backstage. And then he was actually leaving. And he told me, like, here's my number. Text me. Let's do it. And he actually did it. And that's, like, one opportunity you get in the nightlife, basically, and you make it happen. That's, yeah, crazy how it went like that, because other people, you have to message them, yo, I have this at my home, you want to go? And they're going to say yes, or they're going to say no, you know? And sometimes moments like that is, yeah, important, I think, for business, yeah, also.
I have a few artist friends, and it's really interesting when I see them do their thing. It's almost like, for a second, they're like a different person up there. What's like a misconception people have about you, or something that they don't know about you if they know you as an artist or as an entrepreneur? What's something that you think people don't know about you as a person?
A lot of my friends already know, like, that I'm laid back, I'm really chill.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm an introvert, like, you know, I prefer my peace and, yeah, not getting always, like, I don't want to be the, you know, the main
character,
the center of attention.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I perform, when I DJ, when I go on stage, I have to have energy, so I have that energy with me, you know? But some people think, oh, this guy is
the
owner of the Caribbean Club Bangers, the nightlife, he's doing events, this guy is crazy, so I'm gonna approach him like a crazy guy.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have people come to me like, oh, you know, like, really energetic. I was like, hey, what's up, everything,
yeah,
good, you know? I think also when you're being an artist or a DJ, you're performing, you have,
yeah,
to, like, do a switch in your head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I had to get used to that, like, how do you do that? Because sometimes before you go on stage, you're like shitting your pants. Especially if the DJ before you killed the set. Like, you have a whole crowd waiting to hear you hear you play. And how are you going to do that? Sometimes,
yeah,
it could get a bit rocky, like, you know?
Yeah.
If you put, like, not the vibe. But,
yeah,
sometimes you have to read the room to play,
yeah,
the right song. But sometimes you have your set already planned out and you have to adapt. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. How do you picture, how do you hope that your son will grow up and look at you?
Hopefully like a creative example,
mm-hmm,
or also to go what you actually want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that. I would say dream chaser, basically. And I want to push him also whatever he wants to do, I would like support him 100% and actually help him achieve that goal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The support of your parents is really important. I already have that.
Is there a moment, like, because I, now that I'm in my 20s, I can better reflect on, because I grew up being a rebel teenager. I was a really annoying teenager, and I hated everything and everyone, did not want to hang out with my parents whatsoever. But then, especially moving away and becoming older, I realized how much my parents have done for me. And it's like, how do you give back to someone that gave you the fucking world? And it's like, I start realizing now how much they've done for me, but I can imagine when you become a parent, it's a next level thing.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, this is what you did for me.
Yeah.
Did you have that epiphany too in some way?
Yeah, because like you said, like, your parents basically give you everything,
yeah,
and you have to do the same for your child, or maybe better, or, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm always want to try to do, and I think make his life easier.
Mm.
Of course, it's going to be spoiled if you do that, but
yeah.
You have to balance that out and do your best, basically, because you don't get a handbook how to be a parent. Like, and it's... I could tell you it's a bit hard when your parents are not living with you. So on the island, I would say if I was a parent on the island, I would have my parents also to like take care of my kid also, or just spend time with them.
Yeah, just the idea of like to have a grandma and grandpa in your life.
Because I grew up like that.
Yeah, my partner as well. My grandma's boat lived in the Netherlands when I was on Aruba, so I definitely missed that. But I see my mom now, my sister has two kids, and I see my parents and how much that brights them up. But also for the kids, it's like, oh, I'm going to grandma now, you know?
It's funny because I always saw my mom like loving kids or playing with kids. And when I have my first kid, my only kid, she loves him so much. Like, she doesn't even ask for me when we talk. Like, I know she loves me, but yeah, literally.
Oh my God.
And it's hard. It's a bit hard to not have them like
be there.
To be there together at every time, or you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Luckily for us, we go to Aruba every year. And we went there 2 times already since my kid was born, and she loves it. She loves that time, and I love it also. So it's nice to see. But hopefully she will come a few times here. She never been to the Netherlands, so and hopefully I go a couple of times also per year, not only 1 time per year, you know.
Now, if we talk about the future of Karibang and how that looks like. I know you have an interesting event that's coming up this month as well, but what's kind of in the cards for Karibang? Where do you see it in the next few years?
So Karibang has grew so much in the past few years, from being a YouTube channel to being a online platform to also DJing. So I didn't tell you in this podcast, but at a point I was DJing as Karibang and not as Avila. From that, doing parties, doing live stream, doing everything, we started building a community also. And the important thing of building a community is like, you have to do different things so it could like keep on growing and keep on getting better. Yeah, so keep it interesting also. And for the next event we have on the 23rd of September, we have an art exhibition. It's not only for art, it's also for music and fashion. And it's basically, the name of the exhibition is called From the Caribbean to the World. And that's one of our goals to do with Karibang, because we are from the Caribbean and we have to go to the world, for the Caribbean to the world, you know? So that's an interesting event to be a part of, or to create also.
It's also during the day.
Yeah, it's during the day. It's not a party.
It's not.
It's a networking event
where
you can see art, music, fashion. We have a couple of Caribbean creatives coming and doing panels, interesting panels that you can learn of the process of the industry, the creative industry, and it's really a great thing, and I appreciate everyone being part of it and trying to make that happen, because it's something new to us, especially for the community, but it's something that needs to be done. Shout out again to my team, because they really pushed me, like, hey, let's do something like this, you know? You know, we can throw parties, we can throw festivals, we can throw exclusive anything, but let's do something like this, because it's needed also, you know? Mm-hmm. So everyone, if you're listening, come by the art event from the Caribbean to the world at the Glasfabriek Schiedam, 23rd of September, from 2 o'clock in the midday till 10 o'clock in the night. Yeah,
that's super nice, super exciting, something different. And last week I had Loris on, and she has her own jewelry brand, but also really, really strong community. And she said something, because I asked her, like, what is a community? And she said that a community, building a community is all about connecting to the people, but also making sure that the people connect to each other. And I think that this is a great way for the community to connect with each other. Like I said, you know, I'm not much of a talker in the club because fucking music's loud, but yeah, here's somewhere where I can see people actually having good conversations, and I love that.
Of course. In the beginning of July, we did a beach event also. Mm-hmm. It was like a sports tournament, a beach tennis and beach volleyball tournament. And then you have the after party with DJs and everything. And that was also for the community, something different, you know? And a lot of people liked it, like doing something sportive and chilling with other friends and seeing each other again at an event. It's nice for the community.
Cool. So that's kind of like what's coming for Caribbean. How's that for you as a person, but also you have Esofila as well, your artist?
That's really interesting. I would say for Esofila, I'm making music right now. So that's a new experience for me, because normally I'm a DJ. So I just download music, I get music, mix it together, and bam, that's it. You know, now I'm making music. I think that's a step that every artist should do.
100%.
Make your own things. Yeah. So even if you're taking a idea or something, but make your own music and publish it, that's really important to your career. So that's what I'm doing right now, because music is really broad, you know?
Oh yeah.
And for Caribbean, it's basically a niche Caribbean club bangers, and I love all types of music. So, you know, as Esofila, I can do whatever I want with music. There's no limit.
Yeah.
So if I want to experience in one genre, I will do that. That's for Esofila. I actually started Caribbean Sound System also.
Yeah.
That's when I play, like, me and MC. Mm-hmm. Either it's Edson or Alimar or another MC that entertains when I play. That's the sound system that represents Caribbean.
Got it.
And we have, like, a couple of shows coming up under that, that you would say artist or, yeah. That's what we have coming up. That's also interesting, because when I play as Caribbean Sound System, it's only the sound of the niche of Caribbean, and as a villa, I can do whatever I want.
Do you have like different USB sticks or something?
No. I have different playlists.
Okay.
Because one USB, you can put like a playlist, okay, is like a folder. So So, and for me as Alduin, enjoying life, enjoying everything. So enjoying life, I would say spend time with my family, of course, working on my business and hanging out with friends and doing spontaneous new stuff or traveling or activities. That's life, I think. You have to do those type of things to like for example, yesterday my partner invited me to go see the sunset at Scheveningen.
Oh, I love that.
So that was really random, but I'm so glad she asked me to do that, to go as a family, also with my son, because I was so stressed out about work yesterday and the day before that I was having a bad day, a bad day. And when I did that, it was really beautiful. The sunset was really good. We're having nice weather here in the Netherlands right now, so it's really nice to appreciate that also.
Yeah, Yeah, I think like I remember like during COVID, kind of like going back to quote unquote basics because you couldn't do a lot. So like a walk in the park was like fucking, you know, that was like going to a club, right? And like I feel like now we've kind of lost that.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of, I don't know, we're kind of back in the routine and we're missing that like.
Yeah, that random just go out and breathe.
Yeah, I think especially like I've been thinking a lot about this idea of like I feel like, even though I feel like it's kind of dramatic, but I feel like I grew up kind of fast. If I compare other friends that I came with here in the Netherlands, like they're now graduating, you know, now there's her life. I'm like, holy shit, I've been doing this adulting thing and working and stressing and for a really long time. And I sometimes I'm like, wow, like you're still in your 20s. Like you should enjoy life as well. And
of course,
and still
of
do
course.
Those spontaneous things and still go out to a festival sometimes.
I think that's the ambition or the drive that you have as an entrepreneur.
Oh, 100%.
Because I have that also.
Yeah.
I want to go, do that.
Yeah.
You have to make it. You have to do this. You have to work 100% right now.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have someone like, for example, my partner tell me, hey, let's go see the sunset.
Yeah, you need someone like that.
Yeah, you need someone like that. And to also respond like, yes, let's do that.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes you can go, no, I'm too busy. I have things to
do. What do you mean the fucking sunset? I have to do it.
Yeah.
It's so easy to.
Yeah,
like it seems like such a little thing that you're like, oh, I can do that every day. I need to work on this now. But yeah, I think that, yeah, I don't know. These last few weeks, I'm really like, wow, like we don't have forever, you know? And like at the same time it's like we don't have forever, but at the same time it's also like we have so much years ahead of us hopefully, and we're so young still, you know.
Yeah,
what are we stressing about? Sometimes it's kind of a weird dilemma, like traveling for example is a big kind of like thing with me. My partner is a bit older as well, but for him it's like people, we're all working for ourselves, you know, we can just grab our laptops and go travel or work somewhere else. And and I'm feel like I'm still so stressed of like I can't let that go. I feel like I'm something's growing here, and I feel like if I leave and go on vacation for a week it will all be for nothing and of it will all course. Crash down. Which I don't think it would, but it's just like something in your head that's
it's stopping you.
Yeah,
actually.
It's like I think you dream of this thing, and then now you feel like you're living that dream and you're so afraid of it going. It just goes away from one day to the other.
I mean, that's scary at sometimes because you have to realize like we're living life, but anything could happen any day.
Yeah.
So that's good to have in mind when you're stressing. And because like, for example, yesterday and the day before I was stressing about Caribbean stuff with events and everything. And I saw a story of my friend. He's in China right now.
Mm.
And he's like, people are working like couple of hours per day or the whole day basically for like €5.
Yeah.
So that humbles you a bit, like, you know, you're stressing, you think the world's gonna end, but all the time you know what I mean, you get so stuck up in your head, and I'm talking for myself right now, but you have to just realize you got a problem, but there's a solution for your problem. Other people don't have solution, you know.
No, super interesting conversation, and really low-key nervous to stop this podcast because last time we did this and I stopped recording, fucking deleted the audio, so let's not let that happen this time. It's really interesting when you sit down with someone and kind of have the same conversation, but it's still never going to be the same conversation.
It's never going to be the same. Because
so I appreciate that you sat down with me. I appreciate your vulnerability as well. I know you through my partner, and I feel like I got to know you a bit better, and it takes courage to be vulnerable, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you also having me for a second time. But it's nice talking to you also, to get to know you also.
I'll see you guys. Well, actually, guys, this is going to be one of... This is going to... I can't even say it because it feels real, but for a while, I'm going to take a break with the guest interviews. And that feels weird. I feel like it still feels like next week I'm going to be sitting here at the social hub again. But I think it's going to be good to take a step back and see how we can better improve the podcast. So, but I'll still be here with the solos next week. So I'll see you guys next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.